Caden S. versus Jeffrey T. This is a petition for further review. So, Ms. McClure, you may proceed, even though you confused us by sitting at the other, or at least you confused me by sitting at the other table.
I just wanted a table. Can I reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal, please?
You may proceed.
Thank you. Justices, opposing counsel, this is a petition for further review. This based on the question really becomes, in a domestic case, can the Court of Appeals change a label that's put on something, or can they change the overall intent of what the trial court's position was if there's a conflict between the two? Everybody's conceded in their briefs all along that this case ended up being a de facto joint custody arrangement. The judge says that he's giving custody to the father, but the court himself, the trial court, developed the parenting plan, which was a week on, week off parenting plan.
So does an award of sole legal and physical custody preclude equal parenting time? And if so, why?
I don't know that it, well, clearly it doesn't. I mean, the judge did it in this case, so the judge must not have felt like it did. I think it does only in the fact that it tends to confuse people that are looking at it in regards to what control or what authority either of the parents has over it. The court,
when you talk about control, do you mean control over the child during their parenting time?
Decision-making control, because that legal custody is that decision-making control and where the child is going to be during that parenting time. Yes.
Did the district court address that by awarding sole custody?
They addressed it by awarding sole legal custody, yes.
Isn't that enough?
There's two different kinds of custody, though. That's enough in terms of the decision-making, yes. But there's still the issue of parenting time and where the child is going to be.
But is it parenting time separate from custody? Are they defined differently in the statute?
Kind of. I think that's a hard thing to answer.
Kind of why we're here.
It is why we're here. You know, in other cases, so in the Elsom case, 257 Nebraska 889 from 1999, in that case, the decree did not put any label on what that parenting time was going to be. It simply set out a parenting plan of what that parenting plan would look like. In that parenting plan, the parents had essentially equal time. The court said, based on the continuous blocks of time, we're finding that that is a joint custody arrangement. That's why I think that it's imperative to look at what that parenting time was and look at what the intent of the judge was when he drafted that parenting plan. I think it's important to note that it was the judge that drafted it. This was not a parenting plan that was proposed by either party and then adopted by the court. This was explicitly written and set out by the trial court judge, who had an opportunity to hear all of the witnesses, examine all of the evidence, and go through those factors to determine what he felt was in the best interest of the child.
In this case?
Yes, in this case. And that's why I think that the intent of the trial court...
Were the parties aware? I guess my ultimate question is, did everybody have due process in this process?
Yes, there was a full trial that had due process. I know there was an issue
Were the parties aware that joint custody might be an issue?
I think that the court has made it clear that any time that custody is at issue, joint custody can be a potential a potential outcome of that. I think in further, in this particular case, when the father filed his original complaint, it asked for joint custody. While he did later file a motion asking for sole custody, prior to the trial brought up the issues of confusion about what issues were proceeding and what documents were proceeding with the court, and that it was not clear that that motion amended the prior complaint asking for joint custody. So I think that the parties had asked for joint custody and it was properly before the court for joint custody. I think even if it wasn't, I think the parties have been put on notice through case law and through decisions of this court that if there's a dispute over custody, that joint custody is something that the trial court can consider.
But the court here didn't order joint custody. It ordered sole legal and physical custody to the father with a parenting plan that afforded the child equal time with both parents, finding that to be in the child's best interest. Isn't that different?
There's clearly a dispute between the label and what was done, and so I think something does need to be fixed with that, but I think the issue becomes the Court of Appeals tried to fix it by ordering that a new parenting plan be done, whereas I think we need to look more clearly at what the intent of the trial court was and finding what those best interests were.
Why does anything need to be fixed?
Well, ultimately, I mean, we said that it didn't. We did not appeal originally. We were fine with the trial court's award. I think the fix is fixing what the Court of Appeals did and not even necessarily what the district court did. If something needs to be fixed, it should be the label and not the parenting plan that it gets remanded for. But I don't know that anything has to be fixed. I think the trial court did that on purpose, and I think that there's reasons for possibly doing that. It creates issues that are outside of the record in this case, and it creates some public policy issues possibly by having that. If the parties have sole custody, then it may be difficult for mother to be able to do some things during her time of signing the child up for activities or some other stuff unless they can work together. But I think that those are just issues that come up in any case that the parties have to deal with.
So as a practical matter, what's the difference between parenting time and physical custody?
The label. Honestly, I think it's the label. The parenting time is the time you're actually spending with the kid. Custody is what outside people are looking in and seeing, and I don't want to say judging, but judging based on who has that custody and who maybe has more authority or who has more right to say something.
Does each parent, whether custodial or non-custodial, exercise the same parenting functions during their parenting time? Is there any difference?
No, there's no difference. The only difference is with that legal decision making of who gets to choose where the child is going to go to school, daycare, religion, medical.
And those are the decisions to be made by the legal custodian.
Correct. Right. I'd like to reserve the rest of my time.
Before you sit down, what do you make of the language in our cases that say joint custody should only be utilized in cases where the parties are mature enough to be able to get along?
I think that's very hopeful and maybe not always realistic. I think that the judge looked at some of that and the conflict between the parties, and I think that there are times and places where the joint custody actually helps to facilitate that communication and helps ease some of that issues. The issues generally come during the transitions of the child. The joint custody week on, week off, it cuts down on the number of transitions that the parents have, and it cuts down on the amount of time that they have to interact and try to get something done because they have more days that they can schedule appointments or do what they need to do during their period of time. I'd like to reserve the rest of my time.
Thank you very much. Mr. Brackel, good morning to you.
Morning, Honorable Counsel and Justices. I'd like to start out by introducing some people that are here that are really interested in this case. Mr. T. Mersma is a gentleman on the end of the bench there. Next to him is Brad Schramm, who was a witness in this matter. Next to him is a Mr. Ehlers, his wife is a witness. And the most important person here is the lady who is the guardian ad litem, Nancy Malik. And so they're all here, and I am too. Maybe on paper it says I'm representing Mr. T. Mersma, but I want to make it very clear that I am here because I'm deeply concerned about a young man who is now approaching 4.5 years, and he needs stability and he needs a good situation. I'm positive when all of you were judges, you basically set time limits on what an attorney could do and how long they had to do it. And it was supposed to be in the transcript, the judge's minutes. But I don't think it did make it there because I looked for it. But it is in the Bill of Exceptions. It shows when we started our case at 8:52 and when we concluded our case at noon. And then from 1 to 4, the third-party defendant, who is Mandy Snyder, put on her case. In other words, we were told by the judge, I was told, you've got the morning, they've got the afternoon, we're out of here. His court reporter had a conflict, and so that was part of the problem.
Did anyone complain about that?
Well, Judge, if you remember your days, did many attorneys complain to you? If it just is something you don't do a lot of, is complaining to the judge.
I take it that the rhetorical answer means there is no objection in the record.
No,
to
no
the
objection in the record.
Of time.
But I guess what I'm saying to you is, if we had a full day, we would have put on a lot more evidence than we did, but we didn't have that luxury. So we had to determine what we felt was important, put that in, and go from there. Now, I couldn't disagree more with opposing counsel of her description of this case. This case, and I'm jumping ahead, I mean, the mother literally didn't give a dang about any court order. She didn't do what the court ordered. The court ordered her to what my client's visitations was supposed to be. She ignored it up till about a month before the trial. Then apparently she thought, well, maybe I better get on board and do something here. The other thing is, the court ordered the parties to go to mediation twice. Both times she refused. Things were so bad in the communication that if you went through the transcript completely, you'd find that there was an order entered that the exchange of the minor child had to be done at the law enforcement center in February, and it's still being done there.
Counsel, what are you concerned about in this case? What are your issues?
Okay, my issue is, I have a young man who, excuse me, I'm a different generation than you, and a lot of you I don't even think remember Judge Rice. But Judge Rice had this thing, and Chief Justice brought it up about joint custody is supposed to be reserved for the cases where people can communicate and everything. So I guess what I'm simply saying is, we're asking that you affirm the Court of Appeals. We feel that the person that should have primary and physical custody, and what the Court of Appeals awarded, is Mr. T. Mersma. And I quoted cases to you, Coffey and the others.
Did the district court order joint custody?
No. And Chief Justice brought it up, and it was in my brief, that basically there is a due process issue here.
Well, the district court ordered sole custody.
Right, of Mr. Tversma, but then, in fact,
isn't the issue of due process whether joint custody should be awarded or not?
No. The issue is, that's what the Court of Appeals did. The Court of Appeals said that this is not a case, based on communication and other factors, where it should be joint custody. It should be the usual every other weekend. And
so are you really concerned about the parenting time or the custody designation?
I'm concerned that this court not go back to anything resembling joint custody.
Why, in a situation where the court has specifically found that it would be in the child's best interest to maximize the time spent with both parents, why should the parenting time be affected here by the physical custody determination?
Okay. For a lot of the reasons that I mentioned, but stability, but I did point out in my brief...
What makes the child unstable, spending 1 week with one parent and 1 week with the other?
When you have a parent that's abusing the situation, yes. And that's what you have here. And the record shows that. So if you look at the guardian ad litem's report, she makes it very clear what was going on. She investigated it fully.
And the court seems to have taken that quite seriously.
Yes.
And made a specific finding that an award of joint physical or joint legal or physical custody in this case would not be appropriate given the relationship of the parents. Mm-hmm. But it went on then to make a specific finding that as to the parenting time, mm-hmm. it would be in the child's best interest to spend as much time as possible with both parents. What's wrong with that finding?
If one parent wasn't abusing the situation, abusing the kid, it probably would be very good. That isn't what you've got here. And I basically what you've got is a situation where this child is being abused by one of his parents. And that's what the Court of Appeals noted. And especially if you listen to Exhibit 20, you probably haven't done that. It's a CD. You listen to that, boy, if you really, Judge Stacy, if you believe what you're saying after listening to the Exhibit 20, then there's nothing I can do. And if you
what I'm trying to get at, counsel, I'm probably not making it very clear. Okay. This distinction that the Court of Appeals made between parenting time and physical custody, characterizing parenting time as de facto joint custody, I think is what we're all sort of getting at here in our questioning. Is that an appropriate distinction? Is there some reason that an award of physical custody must necessarily preclude equal parenting time?
I guess the way I would answer it, in my opinion, the district court made a terrible mistake by making an ex facto joint custody. And the judge, I pointed out in my brief comments he made at the end of the trial, and again at the end of my motion to alter or amend, where he basically lectured the parties about getting along. I think the judge wanted to encourage them to get along, and that's fine if they can do that, but that isn't the situation you got here. Unfortunately, there's a person that doesn't... I'm trying not to get too disparaging, but basically it's a real problem.
That's what
the Court of Appeals tried to remedy, and I'm asking you to uphold the Court of Appeals to keep it the way it is, because I assure you Mr. Timmersma is a fine parent, and the evidence showed that, and he has his son is going to be going in school here soon, and basically joint custody just isn't going to work out in this case, especially
for communication. It wasn't ordered in this case.
Pardon?
But joint custody wasn't ordered in this case.
Well, it really was. I agree, it wasn't. So I guess I'm asking you, since it wasn't, then go ahead and keep it. So it wasn't the standard custody and get away from the terms of the joint parenting plan that don't fit into what the court determined. I agree, the court determined one thing, but then did another in the parenting plan, and that's what I'm trying to point out that the Court of Appeals remedied, and we're asking you to uphold the Court of Appeals and to watch out or to protect Mr. Caden Snyder.
Is it fair to say that your position is you don't have a legal objection to this type of arrangement where it's sole joint and physical custody with one parent and nearly equal parenting time with the other? It's just your position. It isn't appropriate in this case because of the facts. Is that fair to say?
Because in this case, yes, because of the facts, because the one parent that had custody totally abused it.
So
what does the court do then? You have to change it, and that's what... So we clearly made it clear. We wanted the court to flip-flop the prior custody agreement that was in effect between the parties.
So you're arguing the facts and your opponent is arguing the law?
That my opponent's arguing what?
The law.
No, I don't think she's arguing the law, because I don't think the law says you should have...
Is your opponent's position the Court of Appeals made a legal error?
Okay, if she's arguing that, I don't think the Court of Appeals made an error at all. I think they did the right thing. And I guess...
On remand...
Okay.
On remand, then, the Court of Appeals directed the trial court to enter a parenting time schedule that was more consistent with an award of sole physical custody. What, in your opinion, does that look like?
Okay, it looks
Could
like
it be
a reverse.
49-51? Would that be consistent? Must it be 40-60?
No.
Must it
no.
be something less than 40% of the time?
What
and how
it
do we decide?
Was a flip-flop of an order that was entered on June 29, 1916, where Mrs. Snyder was given custody and my client had visitation rights. And so it was all set out, just a matter, and that's in, I guess I don't have the transcript where it's at, but basically that's what it would be, the flip-flop. In other words, that's basically what happened in Coffey and Schreiner and in other cases when a person's abusing their right with the child, the court, you can't tell the mother, hey, you get out of here, you can't have your kid, visit your kid, but you've got to be reasonable about it. And I guess I am taking the position that joint custody should be only used in rare cases where the parties can clearly demonstrate that they can get along and do what's in the best interest of the child. And I'm saying that Mandy Snyder did not do that, and the Court of Appeals recognized that, changed it, and I'm asking you to please not reverse it.
Isn't your position that even if we just call it equal parenting time, that also should be reserved for the situation where the parents get along?
Yes, oh, definitely. And they don't, that's my point here, they don't get along.
All right, thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Do we have time for rebuttal? 1 minute and 4 seconds, Ms. McClure.
Thank you. I'll try to talk fast, but not too fast. Under Nebraska statute, joint physical custody means mutual authority and responsibility of the parents regarding the child's place of residence and the exertion of continuous blocks of parenting time by both parents over the child for significant periods of time. Whether the court called it that or not, that's essentially what the court did, and that's why we've been calling it a de facto. The label and the definition, whether that's there or not, what the intent and what the outcome of the court's plan was for a joint custody. It affects not only the custody, but it also affects the child support and the medical reimbursement. And those are the issues that we didn't touch on today.
Should equal parenting time be limited to cases in which the parents get along? And if not, what's your best argument for why not?
No, because it's what's in the best interest of the child and not what's in the best interest of the parents. Like I commented earlier, I think that there's cases where the joint custody act... May I finish?
You may.
I believe that there's cases where the joint custody actually puts the child in a better position in terms of less parental conflict. There's less exchanges happening between the parents, especially in Lancaster County. A typical order for joint custody, a week on, week off, has the exchanges happening at school. So one parent will drop off on Monday morning, the other parent will pick up the child from school on Monday evening. That essentially eliminates that the transition and the conflict between the parents. Do they still have to talk about the child throughout the week? Sure, but that's part of co-parenting, regardless of how much time each parent is having with the child. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next case of the